It's Tuesday, February the 15th, and welcome to our live broadcast called This and That. And I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. And folks, we have a lot to talk about tonight. A lot of things have transpired over the last few days. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Before we get into today's stories, let me state that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. The weather for tomorrow, February the 16th. You know, Adam, it looked like we were heading towards spring and we had a little bit of a setback with some snow.
Yep, a little bit.
It was a little discouraging, but I noticed today that a lot of it has melted.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hoping for an early spring with temperatures 16 Celsius. Can I say it? 17 Celsius. Well, anyway, tomorrow, February the 16th, partly cloudy, a few flurries or snow showers possible. A high of plus 6. Well, let's get to the news for today. I don't think this is surprising. This is not something you're not aware of, but on Monday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau declared a public order emergency through the Emergencies Act, giving federal authorities the power to, among other things, impose fines, imprisonment, and freeze the funding and bank accounts of those who are taking part in the ongoing trucker protests and blockades. Once a declaration of a public order emergency is issued, as it was on Monday, it is considered in effect. Now, we know that it has to pass through Parliament. I think there's 7 days to do that, yep. And also to pass through the Senate. But once that's established, it comes into effect. It is considered in effect unless the declaration is revoked or extended. It will expire after 30 days. This gives the government unusual power. Now, this legislation was adopted, established in 1988. Before that, it was called the War Measures Act. Did you know that the War Measures Act was only enacted 3 times, the First World War, the Second World War, and the FLQ crisis in 1970. Now, we know that the FLQ crisis, there was one kidnapping that we're aware of and a murder that took place. And so the soldiers were on the streets, people were detained. Large numbers of people were detained. I would think that comparing the FLQ crisis to what's happening in Ottawa, you know, there's just no correlation at all. There's just no correlation at all.
No, not at all. Not even, you can't even correlate to the wars when they put it enacted in World War I and World War II.
Exactly.
Total different scenarios.
I mean, there's no violence. Kids in bouncy castles, people partying. You know, I don't know why the Prime Minister has gone this route. Maybe he has a thirst for power. CBN is saying that Trudeau, by many, is being called, what would you refer to it as, a totalitarian? That's the word that they're using, by threatening to...
A dictator?
A dictator is another word that people are using, threatening to freeze trucker bank accounts and destroy their jobs. And listen, it's not just trucker bank accounts that can be frozen, but anyone who supports a trucker.
Suspected supports.
Suspected, Adam. Thank you.
They don't need grounds.
They don't need any grounds, even if they're suspected of supporting a trucker. Their bank accounts can be frozen. Cryptocurrency as well?
If they're worried about cryptocurrency, so, I mean, if there's anybody who invests in cryptocurrencies and they see some transactions, they could just freeze your bank account. Even if it's just your own investments, they could just be like, we don't know.
I mean, to me, it's almost a form of martial law.
Yep.
Where the government has so much power and they can pretty much do anything they want. There are some stipulations. They're saying it's only for specific areas, and they're targeting the truckers that are on Parliament Hill. And so far, the truckers have remained steadfast and unmovable, and many of them really don't care what the Prime Minister enacts or what Parliament enacts. They're staying put. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I support them 100%.
Yep.
Because these mandates need to be dropped. And this is the time that it needs to happen. A lot of the provinces, Adam.
Yep.
Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, and even Quebec. Are dropping mandates. And they're getting rid of the passports. But the Prime Minister has dug himself in. He's dug himself in. And he's just saying, you know what? I'm enacting this, and we're going to deal with these truckers. Well, let's see what's going to happen in a few days.
I think the scariest part of this is also the part that they put in it, saying that they will acquisition any company or person to help remove these trucks. So all those tow truck drivers that refuse to remove trucks, the government can look at them and say, you need to move these trucks. And if they don't, they can be fined from $5,000 to 5 years in jail.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's part of the, when you read through the list of stuff like that they're going to enact in this, that was one of them, is it's under acquisition materials and funds to end it. Like, and in there they stated, you know, tow trucks or more police officers, if anybody refuses. So if you're a tow truck driver and you refuse to help out, you can end up in jail or a $5,000 fine.
And, you know, let's be honest. These tow truck drivers probably don't want to get involved in this situation. Many of these tow truck drivers work alongside these truckers. It's like a team situation.
Yeah. It's special trucks. It's special tow trucks you need to tow out these big
rigs. Exactly. You're absolutely right. So, I mean, you know, it's just absolute insanity. If there's ever a time where there's been insanity unleashed in our country, it's today. It's this very hour we see these crazy decisions that are being made. And it just behooves me to think about, you know, the ramifications of all of these things. And what is exactly going to happen should this legislation pass? And, of course, the Liberals have the NDP on their side, so it is going to pass through Parliament. And then the only other aspect is the Senate.
Yeah, if the Senate will stop it.
The Senate will stop it. But you know what?
It's very rare that they...
No, you're right.
There's maybe a couple laws that they've thrown back, and usually they get patched up and then sent through. Like, it's very rare the Senate actually stops things.
Well, the BC government has expressed support for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's historic invocation of the Emergencies Act in response to the ongoing trucker convoy, blockades, and protests. Well, you know, that shouldn't be a surprise to us because we are being governed by the NDP, the non-democratic party, if you will, and they are just joining hands with Justin Trudeau in complete agreement with what decisions he has made, and that shouldn't be a surprise. You know, today, Bonnie Henry surprised a lot of people by not doing much.
Laughable.
Yes. You know, when you think about it, it is a little bit laughable. You know, when you think about the decisions that were made today, which were really very few.
I mean, nothing changed. Let's be honest.
You're right. Nothing, Adam, has really changed. They opened up the bars. People can go, Adam, to a bar and dance now.
Yep.
Yep. And, of course, the restaurants can have full capacity. But the passport stays in place.
So it only changed if you're vaccinated. Like, nothing changed.
Not much.
No.
So we can understand why the BC government is in full agreement with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Jagmeet Singh, of course, the leader of the National NDP Party, is pretty much flowing with Justin Trudeau. It's just amazing that no resistance from the NDP whatsoever. They just go totally and completely with the Liberal Party.
It's funny, like all the other Western provinces dropped everything. BC, we'll make it believe like we made things better, but not really, like just buckling down.
Well, she's saying that she's not going to lift the passport until June.
Yeah.
You know, she just dug herself
doubling
in.
Doubling down, yeah.
Doubling down, that's right, Adam. She's just doubling down. You know, I just don't understand these people.
I think the best, like, I don't understand either, because even in, when I was watching some of the conversations in the House of Commons, so many times you had conservative members ask Justin Trudeau, what percentage of Canadians do you want to be vaccinated? And they don't give a number. Like, what's the true percent? Like, in my head, nobody else is going to get vaccinated. We're at the point where it's like, if you're vaccinated, you're vaccinated. If you're not, you're not. Like, were we going to get the last 10%? No, never.
You're right. You know, that's a good point that you brought up. And I noticed in the House of Commons, the Prime Minister was asked that more than once. How many people do you need to be vaccinated before we can lift these mandates? And his answer, that's basically it. He didn't have an answer.
Doesn't answer. So at this point, it's like, do we actually think the passport's going to be lifted in June? How many times have we been lied to?
I know, it's crazy. And she's even doubled down, Bonnie Henry, on getting every single last healthcare worker, dentist, anyone in a holistic kind of business, they're going to have to be vaccinated. You know, it's just amazing. Everybody's going in this direction, and the BC government is going in the opposite direction with more oppression, more control, more government overreach. It's just amazing. I can hardly believe what's happening. Well, moving to the province of Ontario, you know, some interesting things happened today in the province of Ontario. Ontario Premier Doug Ford acknowledged that there is division even in his own family over COVID-19 restrictions. At the same time as he announced his government's plan for ending the province's vaccine passport system.
Yep.
This is the first time he has spoken publicly about disagreement with his family over COVID-19 restrictions. Premier Ford did not go into detail, but one of his four daughters, Krista Ford Haynes, has in recent months become an increasingly vocal opponent proponent of masking rules, vaccine mandates, and pandemic restrictions imposed by government. Now, I just find that interesting because the prime minister thinks and has said that anyone who opposes him, almost like a dictator, anybody that opposes him is mentally deranged, or they're one brick short of a load, or they're crazy. But here we have the daughter of the Premier of Ontario, right, Adam?
Yep.
Who disagrees even with her own father. She is also an outspoken supporter of the protesters who shut down the most important border crossing in Ontario for a week, and those who continue to occupy downtown Ottawa. So this is his own daughter. Yep. And yet the prime minister puts down and calls people names simply because they disagree with him. I mean, he just wants no one to disagree with him, Adam.
Yep. He just wants everybody to agree. Fall in line.
Fall in line, or there's going to be consequences.
Yep. Well, I mean, we saw that in the House of Commons when the Liberal Party was like asking what Conservative members weren't vaccinated. What Conservative members, right? Like, it was all fall in line. They were just, you know, that was early on last year they were doing that, right? So fall in line or there'll be consequences.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course, he blames the Conservative Party for these protests that have taken place across Canada, and especially the one around Parliament Hill. He blames the Conservative Party for encouraging these individuals. So he doesn't want to take any kind of responsibility himself. He wants to shift the blame to the Conservative Party. That's just basically what is in his head. And you know what? It's really shocking a lot of people, not just in Canada, but it's shocking a lot of people in the U.S. and around the world how this country is being governed, how this country is under such a oppressive government where Canadians, you know, we're kind of a, you know, low-key kind of people, right?
Yep, yep.
Very friendly, very submissive in that sense. I think this is a surprise to the Prime Minister that there would be these truckers that would arrive out of nowhere and begin to dig in their heels and say, we're not leaving until these mandates are lifted. I think that surprised him. It surprised the premier. It surprised the Ottawa police force. Oh, by the way, the chief of police in Ottawa resigned today.
After saying, I won't resign.
I won't resign. You know, the feeling is... The feeling is, and I want to just add this tonight, the feeling is that there are a lot of Ottawa police officers that really stand with the truckers. This is a problem.
Did the Ottawa police have to get mandatory vaccines?
That I'm not sure about that. Maybe you can check into it. But the sense is that there's a lot of officers that are working for the city of Ottawa that are actually in favor of the truckers. I don't know how many. I don't know how large a group, but there are. In fact, some of them have been caught on tape saying, listen, you know, we support you guys. We support you guys. You know, these truckers have more support than the Liberal media really gives them. It's really amazing. You got something?
Yeah, there? Yeah. So there was a mandate for the Ottawa police officers to be vaccinated. So, I mean, I bet you that's why we see a support from some Ottawa police officers. They're like, this is wrong. We were mandated. this is wrong. I guarantee there's Ottawa police officers that are like, I did it because I had to feed my family, but this is wrong.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a point that we always bring up on this program is, you know, they give you these high stats, you know, 90% of truckers, you know, 85, 87% of this company. But, you know, a lot of people have been coerced into getting the vaccine. You know, they don't want to lose their jobs, their livelihoods. You know, if they didn't have that coercion hanging over them, how many of them would have actually gotten vaccinated?
Yeah, who knows? We don't know. Right? Like,
yeah, I mean, it probably would have been a lot less.
Oh, yeah.
Truckers who remained in Ottawa on Monday evening were largely undeterred by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's use of the Emergencies Act and felt it was another power grab and said they would continue their protest. For many inside the Freedom Convoy, faith fuels the resistance. You know, this is an interesting article that I was reading this morning. And this is an article that has been released by CBC, which I found very interesting. And it talks about, in a very positive light, all of the Christians that are involved in some way in this convoy that's happening in the nation's capital. And one of them is a trucker named George Dyke. He ate a hot dog, Adam, after the federal government announced Monday it would use emergency powers to break up the Freedom Convoy, currently entrenched in the shadow of the Peace Tower in Ottawa. Dyke says he doesn't fear Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's decision to invoke the Emergencies Act, which could set the stage for aggressive police action, lead to the freezing of his bank account, and the loss of his insurance.
Yep.
He's saying faith led him to Ottawa, and faith is what keeps him there. God keeps telling me to stay where you are. Don't go anywhere. You are doing the right thing, Dyke said. I mean, how do you argue with that?
No, you can't.
Christian faith with an overtly evangelical feel flows like an undercurrent through the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa, which means that there are many, many believers that are there, whether they're in a truck, whether they're feeding people, whether they're helping someone. There's just a lot of evangelical, born-again believers that are part of the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa. And you know, that says a lot.
That's amazing.
It really says a lot, because these are people that are sensitive to the leading, the guiding, the direction of the Holy Spirit, and they see that this is an opportunity to minister the message of the gospel in the midst of all of this. And of course, many of these truckers are believers as well. Christian sermons of varying lengths emanate regularly from the main flatbed stage on Wellington Street and from curbside preachers using microphones attached to portable speakers. Shortly after Saturday's Jericho March, Adam, do you know what a Jericho March is?
No, I don't know.
Jericho March is something similar to what took place when the children of Israel marched around Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. You know, I sang that as a Sunday school course when I was growing up in the church. And so a Jericho March is simply, you know, marching around a circumference area and praying. Yeah. So about 100 people gathered on the snow-covered lawn of Parliament Hill after the Jericho March to the east of the doused centennial flame for a prayer service.
Wow.
A prayer service ministered by Harold Albrecht, a former Kitchener, Ontario Conservative MP. So think about it. You know, so much negative press And yet, here we have so much positivity. People praying. People preaching the gospel. People sharing their testimonies of all that has happened. All that has taken place. So you have to ask yourself, you know, God must be in it. Yeah. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah. First thing that came back to my head is like, how is this violent enough to invoke this act? You have people marching on an open field and praying, and you want to round them all up, and, you know, it just it doesn't make sense. It's just, it doesn't make sense. It's, yeah.
So there's a lot of good things happening. Yeah, that's the point that we're trying to make.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things.
Let me end tonight by going back to Ontario Premier Doug Ford. Today, in an interview, he says he strongly discouraged the idea of any new COVID-19 restrictions or retooling of the vaccine passport system after next month, saying the public is done with this.
We are.
Let me just say that again emphatically, saying the public is done with this, alluding to his doubts about the efficacy of the third doses and the rift vaccination has caused within his own family. Yesterday, Ford and Chief Medical Officer Dr. Kieran Moore announced an end to capacity limits in most indoor settings this week and the dismantling of the vaccine passport system on March 1st. Speaking today, Ford said the public needs to move on when asked what businesses considering keeping the passports in place after March 1st to boost consumer confidence. Ford said, "We are done with it." Ford said of limits to public activity, "Let's just start moving on." Cautiously, yes. But he even stated the world is done with it. Let's just move forward. He suggested there was little value in further rounds of vaccination, pointing out third doses. Now listen to this, Adam. Third doses do not provide ironclad protection from infection with Omicron. We also know that it doesn't matter if you have one shot or 10 shots. You can still catch COVID-19. Isn't that an amazing statement coming from the Premier of Ontario?
It's about time. It's about time that we've had a Premier of any province stand up against this.
Well, when you think about it, the Prime Minister had one shot, two shots, booster shot, and he still got it. He's saying it doesn't matter if you've had one shot, five shots, 10 shots. I guess if you really want to get into it, 100 shots, it's not going to keep you from getting Omicron.
Not at all.
So, you know, it just makes you wonder about all of this push to get everyone vaccinated, Adam.
Yep. Yep.
It really does. You know, that's kind of a shocker when you listen to a premier of the largest province in Ontario say things like this. It helps you to understand really what's going on.
Something amazing must have happened in his life. You got to think about it. He has this conflict in his house. He has his daughter on one side that's like against all this.
Yes.
He's a premier who's enforcing it for whatever reason, right? Yep. He's enforcing it for whatever reason. But something amazing happened at a point where he's like, you know what? This is wrong. And I'm publicly going to come out and say this. You know what I mean? Yep. Something amazing. Like whether his daughter got through to him, or there's a realization of him looking at his people that he, you know, premieres over that are his part of his caucus, and he's just like, you know what?
This is just wrong. And the protesters?
Yeah.
The protesters?
Something struck them. Something amazing just struck them.
Happened for him to make that kind of a statement about the vaccines and Omicron. You know, folks, as we come to the end of this broadcast tonight, we have to realize that there's a lot of things happening. And a lot of it is spiritual. And that's why we need, as believers, to be in prayer, seeking the face of God. To be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. because we see so many moving pieces, so many things that are happening, whether it's this emergency act, whether it's the mandates, whatever, there's currency issues that are happening. There are world events that are being played out before our very eyes. And so we need to, I preached a message this past Sunday on keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. We need to do that in this hour. We cannot be shaken by all of these things. Now, I want to end this program tonight thinking about some people that have come down with the virus that are fighting. They're in hospital and they're fighting. And I think of my good friend Lee and his wife Joanne, Mel Knutson, and others that are recovering at home. And I think it would be appropriate for me tonight to end this time by praying for these people. And, you know, you might have someone that you know that is suffering right now, that's going through a time of sickness, and we just want to join together with you in prayer. So let's bow our heads and let's just go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight for this radio program, that we can reach into people's homes, into their vehicles, and we can share the truths that God has so graciously given to us. Lord, I just want to pray for Lee. I want to pray for Joanne. I want to pray for Mel. Lord, they need a touch from you. I just pray for a miracle working, the miracle working power of God to flood their hearts and minds and bodies in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for a miracle to take place in their lives. We pray for healing to flow through their physical bodies. Father, we pray for others that are recovering at home, that you would touch them and minister to them, Lord. We pray a touch of the Master's hand, the Lord Jesus, upon their lives. And we're going to ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.